I saw that they're bringing back an old program, kind of remodeled. A fellow by the name of Art Linkletter did it. And it was all about the things that children say. And I remember watching that and laughing and just enjoyed it. And kids do say, you know, the most crazy stuff, right? How does that happen? How do these thoughts get in our head? Because I've found that adults sometimes say the craziest things. I have found that adults will say things that aren't true, but they seem to believe the lie. I have found that, you know, sometimes we think we know when we really don't. A good example of that is the Sadducees in today's gospel reading. They come to Jesus and it already tells you they're holding on to a lie. It lets the cat out of the bag, as we might say, but it lets the truth be known. They're thinking a lie. And that's important to them, this lie. And so they try to trick Jesus with that question about, well, there's this woman, and following the Old Testament law, that was part of the practice, that if a brother got married and he didn't have children and he died, then the next brother would take that same woman as his wife, and if they could be together, and then they would have children, but they would carry the brother's name. But in this story, each brother dies, the woman is childless, and then she dies. And it's the trick question about, what about the resurrection? How are you going to solve this question about whose wife will she be, when in a sense, they're thinking there's really no resurrection? It's a trick question. Well, in 2 Thessalonians, it tells you right away as a believer, do not be deceived. In other words, there was lies. There were lies about, is Jesus coming again? Some people said no. There were lies about, is there really life after death? And some people said no. There were lies that if there is life after death, how do you get in? And there were all kinds of answers, and a lot of them weren't true. Because there's only one truth about that. People were holding on to lies. Have you realized it's the same today? And the answer to the lies is the same to God's people then as it is now. God says to us, do not be deceived. That's his instructions. That's his teaching. Well, if you don't want to be tricked, and if you don't want to hold on to a lie, and you want to discern what that truth is, the question is, how do we do that? How do I know what I know is true? Well, in our world today, just the same as back then, if you eliminate the word of God as truth, then there is no such thing as truth. So the answers that Jesus gave to the Sadducee, you notice they didn't dare ask him a question, but you also notice that in the text, it did not say, all of a sudden they believed and were celebrating, and you know, because there is the resurrection, hallelujah. You know, no, they didn't do that. They walked away holding on to their lie. In fact, even after Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection, they still thought it was a lie. And they encouraged the lie by making up stories about what happened and how did he get out of the tomb and all of that kind of stuff. And in the world today, we still have the lies. There's the lie that Jesus didn't exist. There's the lie that Jesus was only human. There was the lie that Jesus did not raise from the dead, but somebody stole his body and started the foolish story, he lives. And people bought into it. Silly people. You know, there's the lie one after another. And generation to generation has either repeated the same lies or created new ones. So in the text for today, if you look at your bulletin, you can see not only is there instruction, do not be deceived, you can see that, you know, verse 2, do not be quickly shaken in mind, okay, or alarmed. You know, we call it false alarm. Had a member had a business, and that business had a security system. In 1 year, I didn't count, but that thing went off a whole lot. And in the community that I was serving, you only get so many free police visits for an alarm system that's going off, and it turns out to be nothing. And after that, you have to start paying. Now, I don't know if they do that here, but I do know that's the way it was many, many years ago. And so, you know, we have that idea of false alarm. As a parent, you know, when my girls were not home on time, sometimes my heart would start beating faster and I'd be thinking they're in an accident, you know, or something else has happened, or, you know, and they'd come in and they'd look at, Dad, why are you so, you know, excited or upset? It was a false alarm. And Jesus tells us right away, that's what deceptions do. They either create a false alarm, or they disturb the mind. Or one thing that's not in this verse, but it is elsewhere, it creates a false kind of security or peace. So what does Jesus say? As this is God's word, that means this is the word from Jesus given to the apostles, given to God's people, to write down for us, what does he say for us to do? So you look and you go on to verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way. And it tells you, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. And so what it tells us is, do not be deceived. There is a time and there will be a way in which things will escalate. The world will seem more chaotic. It will seem more cruel. And there will be a definite lie where someone is claiming to have the power and the authority of God. So that's one thing it tells you. It tells you the truth so that you can spot the lie. Now, see, I'm partially colorblind. So when I think something is a certain color, I get to ask Gwen, what color is this? And for me, gray is green. So if I'm seeing green, I ask her, is this gray? Because I know my eyes deceive me. Do you get it? And so when we're looking for the truth, eternal truths, we go to the scriptures. And we can ask the scriptures in the sense of interact with God's living word, and we can go to there and it says, do I have to be afraid of this person who's claiming to be God? And the scripture says, no, do not be alarmed and do not be deceived and do not, it tells me. I don't have to have a knee-jerk reaction. Take a look a little further. And it tells you in verse 13, but we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. So here's the truth, and the kids knew it. Does God love you? Yes, that's the truth. And when you continue on, then you recognize that you have been redeemed by Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ alive. You have had a place prepared for you. It talks about that in the scriptures. You know, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. John, you know, the Gospel of John spells that out really beautifully. And even though there are things we don't know or things we don't understand, there is a truth that is so clear that for all who believe in their heart and their mind, it's undeniable. And when we hold on to that, then we're not so deceived. It's sort of like, by the power of the word, I'm able to look at that screw that's over on the window ledge there, and I'm able to see that's a Phillips, and I'm able to know Allen wrenches do not work. You know, it's not that hard, right? So why do we think it's so hard with all the other questions? Why do we believe this is such a challenge? And the answer is, our sinful nature wants to find an answer that seems to be and appears to be easy with what we have and what we control. Have you ever said out loud or thought to yourself, here's a situation, I can fix this? Have you ever said that, right? Okay. How many times did that work? I'd say I'll wait and let you count, but we would be here the rest of the day, right? So often, we think we can fix, we think we can control, we think we can resolve, and we are in error. The scriptures helps us in our errors. And when I don't pick up that tool of the scriptures, when I don't pick up God's living word, then something else is going to be in my hands, and something else is going to take space in my brain, and something else is going to have possession of my heart, even if it's a little bit. And I will hold on to the lies as if I've got this. The do not be deceived is resolved by our life in Christ, never apart from that. The do not be deceived is resolved by hold on, or as the epistle says, steadfast in one translation. Hold fast, steadfast, to hold on to that truth of God's word. And even though the answers are flying around us, and they're plenty, I do not have to grab hold of them. I do not have to attempt to fit in with the ways of the world, or the thinking of people who claim to be smarter than the rest of us. I get to hold on to the one who knows all, Jesus. I get to hold on by faith to the one who has the power over life and death and gives salvation, Jesus. I get to hold on to the one who is coming again, and I will, by faith, in my body, glorified, see him face to face. And if I die before he returns, I will still be with him forever and ever. And on the day of resurrection, it will get even better. Our world wants to have you in fear, to doubt, to grasp onto the things of the flesh and the brain, the thinking of man. And in doing so, it keeps yanking your chain. And the good news is, you don't have to be deceived. And the result of that is that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ keeps your hearts and minds. Amen.